about my family and all my friends. Remembering their precious lives could tie me almost up. In an instant, in the blink of an eye, life is over and I'm all out of time. In an instant, hello Jesus, all my worries
question for you. What do you believe is going to happen if in the next few moments you take your very last breath and your heart stops beating? Whether you believe in the Bible or not, the Bible does say that tomorrow is promised to none of us. Real life experience tells you that that is true. People die every day unexpectedly. You don't know if you're even going to be here tomorrow, so that's not an unfair question. What do you think happens when you take your last breath and this life as you know it is all over? You know, there are two things that are indisputable. Number one, you will die. Death is a fact of life. One day and one moment, we all die. The other fact is, you sin. The Bible says that you inherited sin from the first man, Adam. Just during this last week, probably in the last 24 hours, you've sinned. Have you ever told a lie or stolen something? If you have, you've sinned. So we take these two indisputable facts, number one, that someday you will die, and number two, that you sin, and we fast forward your life to the moment when you die and stand before God. And at that moment, it is your sin that separates you from the holy, loving God. Now I realize some of you may not believe this. You may believe that you just die and go into the ground and that's it. But the fact is, you are banking your eternal soul on whether you are right or not. So with that said, I would like to encourage you to listen to these testimonies and consider the possibilities. The fact is that because of modern day medicine, there have been many instances where people have had near-death experiences, where they die and then are resuscitated and brought back to life. In fact, I have personally spoken to several people who have died for a short period of time and then experienced heaven or hell. and then have been resuscitated and came back to Earth. I would like to share a couple of these testimonies with you today. This first testimony is given by Jim Wilhelm. 17 years ago, Jim unknowingly digested poison from a wasp spray can. Right after his wife called 911, he had this experience. Please listen.
The next thing I remembered was the experience of feeling completely weightless as I was being drawn into a beautiful and loving bright light. The further along I went, I began to realize there was another person or image in front of me. I find it difficult to explain the joy I felt. It's just too amazing for words. As I was traveling through the light, I was laying flat on my back and could see the faint outline of this image, which appeared to be very softly speaking to me. I could not understand any of the words, but somehow I was profoundly comforted by them. My trip through this light seemed to be very short, and then suddenly I found myself lying in the tallest bright green grass I had ever seen. As I looked around, I noticed that all the colors were absolutely pure and very bright. I was laying down as I noticed the blades of grass were at least 4 foot high and about 6 inches wide. I recall standing up and pushing the blades of grass to the side, revealing a river right in front of me, running from my right to my left. And I was amazed that I could see right to the bottom of this beautiful river. The river was very deep. I was amazed at how clearly I could see the shiny bright stones at the river's bottom. They looked like clear, shiny jewels. Never had I ever felt this happy. And the music, it was everywhere. It sounded so beautiful, it defies description. I just knew this was heaven. Everything we see on earth is dull in comparison to the colors that are in heaven. The music in heaven is too beautiful to describe with words. I felt so happy in heaven. My spirit was completely filled up with joy, love, and peace, which was indeed the Holy Spirit filling me up with ultimate purity. It was in heaven when I learned this deeper meaning of God's beauty and love. Throughout my entire heaven experience, I continually had the distinct feeling that someone was close by as I experienced this intense feeling of love. Looking to my right where the river came from, there was a beautiful stone-built wall that was about 1/2 mile high. It was about 200 yards away from where I was standing by the river. Beautiful music appeared to be coming from behind the wall. It reminds me of how it sounds directly outside Yankee Stadium during a sold-out baseball game. Only behind a heavenly wall, there were people talking and also people singing. And the sound of people speaking and singing in heaven is much more pure than anything here on earth. The colors everywhere were so extremely magnificent, I cannot stress that enough. And beyond any description one could ever believe. I approached the wall, but could not see inside of it. It sounded like thousands, maybe even millions of people were within those walls, so I knew I was not alone. Then came the return trip through that same bright light. I did not want to return to Earth and kept asking that God please not send me back. I don't recall receiving an audible answer, but I felt assured from the love and the peace and happiness around me that this was just a trial for me and that God was not finished with me yet. The next thing I remember is waking up in an ambulance with a nurse yelling to someone, "Step on it! He is not going to make it." I then woke up on an aircraft and later learned they had airlifted me to Good Samaritan Hospital in Phoenix, Arizona. The whole time, I continued to feel that heavenly feeling, a feeling of absolute love. I recall the nurses on the plane taking my vitals and one nurse telling the other that I would never make it. They had thought that I was unconscious, but I did hear many of their conversations. I could not respond to them and tell them just how wonderful I felt. One of my daughters, who is a nurse and was on the night shift at the hospital, told me later that she had been outside the hospital waiting for me and watched them bring me in from the airport. She never did recognize me until she was told who I was. You see, my head had swollen up so badly as a result of the poison from that wasp spray that I couldn't be recognized. The next few days, I began to gradually improve. I was told that I never stopped smiling during my stay in that hospital. I just felt so wonderful from my experience and just knew I had been in heaven. Praise the Lord and thank you, Jesus. That feeling of joy, love, and peace that defies my own understanding did not leave me, and I was so grateful for that.
That sounds like a beautiful place, doesn't it? Referring to heaven, Revelations 21 verse 4 says, "And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away." Heaven sounds like a place to really look forward to, but the Bible talks about two places. It talks about a heaven and a hell. Heaven being a place which is full of peace and joy, but the hell that the Bible describes is nothing like heaven. Next, I'm going to play two short testimonies of people who experienced hell. These are near-death experiences and are both pretty scary. If you have small children, you may wish to stop the recording and finish listening away from the kids. Please listen.
"And as he was talking to me, it appeared like the ambulance literally exploded in flames. I thought it had actually blown up. It filled with smoke, and immediately I was moving through that smoke as if through a tunnel. And after some period of time, coming out of the smoke and out of the darkness, I began to hear the voices of a multitude of people screaming and groaning and crying. But as I looked down, the sensation was looking down upon a volcanic opening and seeing fire and smoke and people inside of this burning place screaming and crying. They were burning, but they weren't burning up. They weren't being consumed. But the most terrible part of it, I began to recognize many of the people that I was seeing in these flames, as if a close-up lens on a camera was bringing their faces close to me. I could see their features and see the agony and the pain and the frustration. And a number of them began to call my name and said, 'Ronnie, don't come to this place. There's no way out. There's no escape. If you come here, there's no way out.' And the smell was like sulfur, like an electric welder. And the stench was terrible.
I went unconscious. I probably was unconscious for a very short while. A few minutes, probably. And I was conscious again. And I looked, opened my eyes and looked, and I was standing up next to my bed. I had a sinking suspicion that the body in the bed was me. But I didn't want to think about that because that was too scary. So I'm getting really agitated and upset because this is all too weird. You know, this can't be happening. It's impossible. I've got a hospital gown on. And it's like really, everything's really real. And I hear people calling me outside the room and they're saying to me in soft, gentle voices, 'Howard, you gotta come with us now. Come quickly. Come out here.' I left the room, which was real clear, bright, and went into the hallway, which was dank and hazy, and followed these people. First they were so syrupy sweet to get me to go with them, and then when I was going along with them, it was like, 'Hurry up, keep moving, you know, shut up, stop asking questions,' you know, it started getting more ugly. And so we get into complete darkness. I'm absolutely terrified. These people are very hostile. I don't know where I am. I said, 'I'm not going to go with you any further.' They said, 'You're almost there.' And we started to fight. So I was trying to get away from them. They were pushing and pulling at me. And there are now a lot of them. What originally had been like a handful now was, since it was darkness, made hundreds or thousands. I have no idea. And they're playing with me. You know, clearly they could have just destroyed me if they wanted to. They didn't want to destroy me. What they wanted to do was they wanted to inflict pain on me because they derived, pleasure isn't the right word, but they derived satisfaction.
And as he was talking to me,
Revelations 20, verse 15 says, if anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, that person was thrown into the lake of fire. So the question is hell a real place? The Bible certainly says it is. But why do so many people believe that there is no hell? Don't you think that people are more focused on who they think God is rather than what the Bible says? Matthew 7 verse 13 says, enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. So in that verse, the Bible says that a narrow gate leads to heaven, but the wide gate and the broad road leads to destruction, which is hell. Which road are you on today? I have a question for you. What if nobody ever warned you about hell? What if you were to die someday without realizing the consequences of this life? You see, in our politically correct society today, people believe in only a politically correct truth. They believe that all ways lead to heaven. They believe whatever they want to believe and have turned away from God's word. Out of arrogance, they create their own God. They say things like, a merciful God would never create a place like hell. Or, hell is a place to go and party with my friends. Does any of this sound familiar to you? But I have great news for you. The Bible says that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but will have everlasting life. What that simply means is this: God loved you enough that he made a way for your sins to be forgiven, washed away. So at that moment, you take your last breath, and you are standing before God, your Creator. It is not God casting you away for all eternity into a place called hell, but instead, it's God ushering you into his holy presence with deep peace and love for all of eternity in a place called heaven. Do not wait to make your decision to accept Christ. Look, God knows your heart. In Matthew 10, verse 30, it says, and even the very hairs of your head are all numbered. So if God knows the number of hairs that are on your head, don't you think he knows what you've been through? I believe that God is giving you this opportunity today to start fresh, to turn away from the sin and guilt of your life toward a new beginning in Christ. I pray that you will learn to believe in a God who sent his only Son to die for you on a cross because he loves you. I pray you will move forward with a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. It's important for you to let God know that you believe his word is true. Hebrews 11 verse 6 says, without faith it is impossible to please him, for he who comes to God must believe that he is God, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. So, if you pray, asking God for the gift of salvation, you are exercising your free will to acknowledge that you believe in him. That demonstration of faith pleases God, because you have freely chosen to know him. When you pray the prayer of salvation, you are admitting that you've sinned. Romans 3, verse 23 says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. To sin is simply to fall short of the mark. The prayer of salvation then recognizes that Jesus Christ is the only human who ever lived without sin. 2 Corinthians 5 verse 21 says, for he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Because God could only accept a perfect, sinless sacrifice, and because he knew that we could not possibly accomplish that, he sent his Son to die for you and pay the eternal price. John 3 verse 16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. Do you believe that Jesus was crucified, died, and rose again on the third day? Are you ready to turn away from your sin and accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior? If so, right now I would like to give you an opportunity to accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Please bow your head and pray after me. Father, I know that I have broken your laws, and my sins have separated me from you. I am truly sorry, and now I want to turn away from my past sinful life and run to you. Please forgive me and help me avoid sinning again. I believe that your Son, Jesus Christ, died for my sins, was resurrected from the dead, is alive, and hears my prayer. I invite Jesus to become the Lord of my life, to rule and reign in my heart from this day forward. Please send your Holy Spirit to help me obey you and to do your will for the rest of my life. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you have prayed this prayer with me, congratulations. I would love for you to contact me. My name is Tim Jouvier. The best way to reach me is by email. My email address is timjouvier@yahoo.com. That is timjouillet@yahoo.com. I want to encourage you to study God's Word and to spend time in prayer every day. I promise you that your life will change forever. I would like to close with an original composition of mine. This is entitled Unimagined Glory. I hope that you enjoy it. God bless you.
Alenu lishabeach ladon hakol, latit gidula liyotzer bereshit. As clear as it could be, I enter heaven's gates and look around at such a view. Cannot believe that this is true. My heart is all ablaze. Choirs are singing perfect notes as I see the glorious throne.
Praise, hallelujah.
and worship through my tears. A reverent fear takes hold of me. I adore the perfect King.
Stay.